Welcome to the Creative Genius Captivated podcast. My name is Yiqing Zhao, a miserable medical student turned award-winning actor, filmmaker, and creativity coach. While my name literally means artistic youth in Chinese, it took me almost a decade to find my calling and path. I help multi-hyphenates overcome burnout, unleash their creativity, and become unstoppable using mindset and customized strategies. Let's dive in. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Creative Genius Captivated podcast. This is Yiqing, and today I have the pleasure to interview Jim Germanic. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Yiqing. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
How's your week going? Busy? Crazy?
It's always way too busy than I like, but it's fun. I'm going attending some of the Tribeca Film Festival thing.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to an event with Adorama Rentals tonight, Adorama Rentals and Tribeca tonight.
I'll be there.
You'll be there too?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. My DP and editor of my last short, the short that I made with 72 Hour Shootout with Asian American Film Lab, he's going to be there too. So.
Cool. Great.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to meet some interesting new people.
It's just so new in a way, because I really haven't gone to these things for 2 years now since the pandemic.
Exactly.
It's like I'm enjoying it for the first time again or something. It's really crazy.
It's crazy. And I was talking to an entertainment lawyer the other day. We got to know each other because of our dogs. See, that's one of the perks of having a dog. Yeah, we ran into each other. She represents clients in like HBO shows and getting book deals and stuff. And she was telling me that, you know, she's so not used to meeting people in person because she's been working from home for over 2 years and, you know, always Zoom calls. And all of a sudden she's like attending work lunches and stuff like that. And she's like, it's overwhelming.
I think one has to develop skills in both now. I think this digital Zoom call stuff will continue in full force, even if the pandemic is wiped out.
Right. Absolutely. But we're going to get to that point just a tad later, because I want you to first tell our audience, just introduce yourself, because I always think our guests have the best words to introduce themselves and tell a fun story. Tell us a fun story about all the celebrities that you worked with.
Wow. There's so many. For 10 years of my life, I was an ICM agent, and literally every morning, breakfast, lunch, drinks, dinner, openings, every day was, you know, I was spending time with, as you call them, celebrities. To me, they were people I was trying to make money for, represent properly, whether they be actors or directors or well-known authors or newscasters. So there are literally thousands of stories, but I think the one that sticks with me is I tried to get Helen Hayes, who's the first woman of theater. I tried to get her. Steven Spielberg wanted her. I spoke to Steven Spielberg a couple of times. He wanted her for a film called Hook, about an adaptation of Peter Pan. And she was 92 at this point. And I had literally 5 or 6 conversations with her. He was offering big money and kept on increasing it, thinking that we were doing some kind of negotiation ploys to increase the, but in fact, she read the script as it was at that point. And she said, this is not good enough. This is not for me. And she finally rejected it, but I was able to introduce, Steven Spielberg wanted to meet Helen Hayes, and I was able to introduce them when she went to LA later that year. So that was nice.
Well, I know the feeling of turning down gigs, but I mean, if it were me, of course I would take it. But anyway, that's this is really our business is all about. I would say the entertainment industry, more than any other industry, is all about relationships.
Correct.
Any industry relies on relationships, but entertainment industry is probably the most relationship-based industry, or one of.
I would think so. It's, as my mother used to say, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
It's who you know. And it's not just who you know, maybe. It's who knows you.
Correct. And right? It's not even who knows you. It's who will help you, who actually take actions on your behalf. There's so many people that brag about, oh, I know thousands of people. It's not about knowing thousands of people. It's about knowing people that will actually do something on your behalf to help you.
Exactly.
And vice versa. So exactly. I'm always helping people without any expectation of return favors. You know, it's just good karma. What comes around goes around. You know?
Exactly.
I try to help people, as much as I possibly can.
And I think that's also one of, that actually leads to the question that I'm going to ask you next, is that because we started this conversation with networking. What do you think is the number one mistake of artists in terms of networking?
Well, as in my book, Beyond the Craft, What You Need to Know to Make a Living Creatively, we just finished our second edition. I talk in a chapter called The Art of Schmoozing, and I talk about the most important aspect is likability. In other words, it's not how great you look or how talented you are or how competent you are. If they don't like you, none of those things matter. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how eloquent you are. Those things, if they don't like you, none of those things matter. So you always want to, you know, you want to be charming. You want to try to relate to people and actually actively listening to them. So it's about likability. A second mistake people make is they have thousands of acquaintances. Well, guess what? Five good friends, real, authentic friends, not phony showbiz. I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. Real friends will do a lot more for you than 100 acquaintances.
That is so true. And I think a lot of times, you know, I know artists who are very sociable, who are very active in terms of meeting new people, and those who are slightly more on the introverted spectrum with very selected few close friends. And I try to meet new people as much as I can, but I always go back to my circle of old friends and strengthen those relationships. It takes time. It takes time and it takes efforts, and it's about building the relationships, not just adding on to another name onto your Rolodex.
Exactly. Someone once said to me something very wise when I started becoming an agent at ICM. You know, I was representing Dudley Moore, Shirley MacLaine, Arthur Miller, Ellen Arkin, Lou Gossett Jr., H. Norman Schwarzkopf, a bunch of people. And someone said something, it says, remember who your real friends are. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, I happen to be from Schenectady. They said, if you become an upstate New York near Albany, they said, if you become which friends will stay with you if you become a plumber in Schenectady again or whatever? And that's something that my point is, it's something to really keep aware of. Who would be your friends if you quit the business and become a carpenter or a painter in the country? Who will stay your friends?
Those are the ones that don't expect things from you. And they really love you for who you are.
Correct.
Not what you have.
Correct.
Right. And
another thing is, it's great to be charming and it's great to get people to like you. But some people in the world, and they may be powerful people in the entertainment business, just won't get you. They won't get you. And that's okay. You can't please everyone all the time, as Abraham Lincoln said. It's okay. People that will get you, you have a strong bond.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing when you said likability. And I think a lot of times we fall into the trap of, I need to be likable, so I want people to like me. And that kind of graspiness of, I want you to like me, that is exactly the element that turns people off, actually.
Particularly after the pandemic, you know, things have changed. And what's really rising to the top of the list for almost any industry and almost any pursuit, career pursuit, is authenticity. Yeah. Authenticity is a key word. Just be real. Be yourself. Don't be needy. Don't be clinging. Don't try too hard. If, you know, just be yourself and see what you may have in common with the person you're trying to befriend.
Yeah. And I think, you know,
it's not just how they can help you. It's a two-way street, as any good networker will tell you. It's a two-way street. That's the bottom. That is the most important element of networking. We know how they can help you, but how can you help them?
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, I honestly think, speaking of networking, you have, I don't know, 30, 40 years of experience. because I come from a different background, and really my real networking experience started during the pandemic. So I'm relatively new to this, and I've read books, I've listened to podcasts, I've attended workshops about how to network, and people tell you different things about how to network. And you just have to take everything with a grain of salt.
You have to be yourself, find some kind of connection socially or professionally with people you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't always happen. And you may not get along, or you may not, they may not understand your value. And that's okay. Move on.
Yeah.
Networking is simply letting people, we are all freelancers. We're all freelancers in entertainment. Our business, the product, we are the product.
Yes.
So it's important, if you want to elevate yourself and succeed more, it's important to get the word out there about what you do. If you're selling your abilities as an actress or as a director or as a production designer, you got to get the word out. And so, I mentioned this in my book, primary contacts. So your primary contacts as an actress are 5 different occupational categories: producers / production executives, directors, casting directors, agents, and managers. Those 5 groups are who you need to meet. You need to meet. I also talk about something else in my book, Beyond the Craft, What You Need to Know to Make a Living Creatively, and that is called contact accumulation. I don't think people really have a chance of succeeding until they make 200 or 300 contacts, meaning people who make a living in the entertainment professions. So I don't mean to depress people. Maybe they only know 5 or 10 now, but that should be a goal. The goal should be meeting 200 to 300, because then you have a lot of more opportunities to make a living.
Exactly. And that's one thing. And also, I think this is what I've been asking when I first started my business during the coaching business during the pandemic. And now that I have my own production company as well. Like it's, you gotta know how to follow up, and you gotta know that it usually, they say on average, it takes 7 touch points to do something with your new contact, right? So most people would stop at the 2 or 3. And then there is no more follow-up, and then they just let the contact slip, and then they don't follow up. And then they try to meet new people, and then they do the same thing, and they don't follow up.
Follow-up is very, very important. And so it's really important to actually write things down in your calendar, your day book, and just keep on trying. Some people don't want to talk on the phone anymore. I noticed this from a pandemic thing. So that's okay. Just communicate to them through emails or texting or whatever they prefer. Some people are not great correspondents. So just find a way to meet them if you can in person. There's nothing like an in-person meeting, eyeball to eyeball. Nothing is as effective as an in-person meeting.
Oh, of course. Well, that's why it also takes more energy. Now they're like, oh, I find staying home to be so comfortable and just snuggle with my cat and dog and watch Netflix. And of course, if you want to stay comfy, then that's it. Then you stay comfy and nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Exactly. And it's true that we were just saying that meeting in person takes so much more effort. Like every time I go to networking events in person, I get super hungry later. I get super hungry because it takes too much effort and energy, and you just need, I need to replenish my energy.
It can be draining.
It can be draining.
Look, energy is important. Energy is a key ingredient of successful communication.
Exactly.
When you're talking to somebody, you should have enough energy, and you should be able to listen actively, listen with empathy, and really not just think about the next thing you're going to say, but actually listen to them. Understand where they're coming from and really focus on that. And I fear that a lot of people are kind of losing the art of conversation because of the pandemic. They're just communicating with people via text or email. And a lot of young people who are brought into the technology, who have been living with the technology all their lives, they have to work on actually talking to people and conversing. And not just bottom lining it.
That's true. The thing is about doing the right thing and doing the effective thing and not doing the easy thing. because the easy thing would be probably just texting or, you know, or not reaching out at all. That's the easiest. You stay in your comfort zone. But then that will not get you anything. It will not move the needle for you. No. And the effective thing, the most effective, of course, is to meet in person, but that's not always accessible. For example, as much as I would love to meet producers in LA that I've been reaching out to, and some of them actually responded to my emails and, you know, hopped on Zoom calls with me, as much as I want to meet them in person, I can't always do that because I am based on the East Coast. And then you just, you know, have your ways of follow up or shoot them an email every once in a while, especially when you have something new happening. Just let them know, share the news and celebrate with them.
That's why, you know, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn is can be so helpful because, you know, you can just congratulate them or send them a private note or whatever.
Yeah.
It's important to keep in touch with people. A lot of people have lost that skill. It's really important to keep in touch with people that are important to you or your career.
Exactly. And see, that's why I use, officially, I haven't started yet, but I am going to put everything into my CRM, customer relationship management. Like when you have a CRM system, you know, then you know all the contacts and you know when was the last time you contacted them. If you drop a note there, for example, I remember meeting a Hollywood A-list director's assistant. I got a meeting with him. Most of our conversation was actually about our dog. It's true. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, ever since I adopted my dog, this dog opened so many doors for me because chances are if you meet another dog person, you start with talking about dogs and then you can segue into whatever you're doing. And then, right? Like, just have used something like a small talk to take away that awkwardness of first meeting someone and just segue into whatever you're going to talk about next.
I think people make a mistake by playing it too safe.
What does that mean?
Yeah. In other words, being too formal or being too, calling this, you don't need to, networking, it's all up to the person. It can be as meaningful and intense as you want it to be. It doesn't need to be small talk, but it is a great thing if you can talk about other things besides the business.
Oh, yeah.
I worked for a guy named Sam Cohn at ICM. Sam Cohn was the largest entertainment agent at the time. He represented Meryl Streep, Robin Williams, Cher, I mean, a huge number, Mike Nichols, Woody Allen, a huge list of people. And he would take people out every day for lunch at Tavern on the Green, the Russian Tea Room on 57th Street. And I started to do the same with my clients, and I would see him there a lot. And it was very well known that Sam Cohn never talked business with them.
Because they want to know the real you, like who you are outside. Because business is only, what, like 10, 20% of your life?
That's right.
It's really only just that much. I was, you know, I met one of the producers of the next Uma Thurman film. I had dinner with her, actually. We spent 2 hours talking about our lives, our dogs, her children, you know, funny things happen on set, things like that.
It's a much deeper bond that's created.
Exactly. Because we know who you are as a person. Like, I see you.
Otherwise, the subtext is, what can you do for me? Okay, bye.
Oh, no. Like, see, here's the thing is about you want to, what you just said about taking action, what this person can do for you or what you can do for them. Actions are inspired by emotions.
Correct.
So you have to elicit that emotions in others first for them to do something for you. And it's the same thing. You have to have that emotions for you to do something for them. So how do you create that emotion is what we say, the deeper bond is we share our lives and we share the fun things and we, you know, we enjoy, like the point is really to enjoy it.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I'm making films or TV shows, my co-producers are generally friends. I'm at that point in my life that I want to work with friends, essentially. I don't want to work with total strangers and
exactly.
People who are potentially unknowns.
Right.
But I definitely hear you. I mean, it's so much more fun to work with friends. You know, it really is.
It's so much more fun and you feel so elevated. And I think that, yeah, elevation is a key word that I've been hearing a lot recently. In our businesses, our industry is all about elevating. That's what I heard from someone else yesterday.
Another thing is, if you're speaking or meeting with somebody who's much more successful and powerful than you, they're going to be very jaded. they're going to be very, very weary about people who just want to use them or just takers. It offsets their caution when you can talk about other things besides what they can do for you.
That's true. That's true. And I think, you know, that's the thing is that sometimes we, when we get too myopic, and that's another word, I've been obsessed with words lately, which, I mean, you're a writer too. So, you know, like we, each word carries certain energy and certain rhythm and, you know, like, and all, not to mention all transformation is linguistic. So we really have to be careful with what we're using, which words we're using to talk to ourselves. And
particularly words that put ourselves down, words that stop ourselves from elevating, as you say.
Exactly.
I will, not I should. You know, that kind of thing.
I would say it's I want.
In terms of loving ourselves and promoting ourselves and pushing ourselves, words we use from in our inner voice, in our head, are very, very important because a lot of people use rather self-destruct, self-loathing kinds of words.
And they don't know.
And they don't know it.
And that's the thing. That's why, you know, we say awareness is the first step towards change. Like, once you know, your world is never the same.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just so that's why when I say getting myopic is that when I think this could be a newbie mistake for a lot of people is that when they start to meet new people, they get too attached to one contact. They get too attached to one thing. And that's where they focus all their energy and they just want the results from that one thing. Have you noticed that?
I think I'm happy people are trying. That's it. You have to try. You may not always make a connection. You may not make a connection with somebody who does something for you or is interested in your art, but practice makes perfect. You know, you have to try to cultivate and meet new people and cultivate these relationships. But when you talk about myopic, I want to jump back to that for a second.
Yeah.
I find a lot of people who are interested in film or TV don't live enough. They don't, their lives are not diverse enough. And I think, you know, instead of just focusing on the business, a lot of times you can tell this, like when you watch lame films that are obviously written by suburbanites of Los Angeles, nothing against suburbanites of Los Angeles, I love them, but they have to have a diverse life. You have diverse lives because you happen to be from another country. That's an amazing country. You know, that's why, you know, I've been to 90 countries. I lived in 5 of them. I love to travel. I love to experience different cultures, different food, various arts, and that's just not my own. I'm very inspired, by the way, when I go to museums, even though I don't create art in that way, in fine arts. My point is that myopic people are just focusing on their little lives and the business. They should be enriching their lives and doing things they don't normally do and exposing themselves to cultural and international experiences that they don't currently have.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. You know what? That's really a reminder for myself too. I am in, well, just because I come from another country doesn't mean I've lived to the extent that I want to. Well, actually, yes, I am. But I'm also like, you know what? I want to try something else. I've always wanted to, I've never done any waiting tables, never done any like bartending, even when I was just, you know, just moved to New York and was doing survival jobs. I never did that. And I don't even know how to do it. Like, I don't know how to wait tables and not to get orders mixed up or not to how to make cocktails. Like, I don't know. So
I did in my early 20s. It was very stressful.
You
have 8 people, 8 tables or 10 tables, happiness, depending on your efficiency. It can be stressful. Things beyond your control. The chef doesn't like you. The chef is slow. You know, so...
saying that I think I'm going to register for a cocktail mixing or bartending class just to have that experience. You know, speaking of live a little.
Trying different things. That doesn't matter what it could be woodworking. It could be snowshoeing in the Maine. It doesn't matter, but try different things. Learn different things, learn new languages or try different things. You know, there's so much, this life can be so rich and diverse. And I feel like a lot of people are very narrow-minded in their lives and just do the same things over and over again and don't experience. They should be artists, creators need to be more experiential. They need to experience life in different ways, not just their simple existence. I think, unfortunately, the pandemic has contributed to people being really narrow in their lives, but I think it's important as an artist to have as much cultural experiences as possible.
I think that's also like, you know, I think when they get what you said about they get so myopic and just focus on their business, is if you lack your why or your purpose, then you don't know like what you're doing it for, because your business serves your life. It's not the other way around.
Correct.
So you want this business to live a better life.
Correct.
It's not you are living your life to serve your business. And I think that's really, and it applies to any business that you do, any careers that you choose, is that your chosen career needs to lift your, needs to contribute to your life. It's a part of your life,
that's
and
right.
Life is the biggest thing.
Work to live, not live to work.
That's exactly. Right.
And a lot of people work too much, particularly in this city, in New York, and particularly,
oh, yeah.
Particularly in this country. You know, I travel a lot, and, you know, they have to know when to turn off and live again. Don't be afraid of living, as we just said. People have to know how to turn off. They really don't need to know their limits, because, you know, you talk about writing. As a writer, there was particular, unless you're under deadline and big money, big thing happening, there's really diminishing returns as a screenwriter, for example, after 3 or 4 hours. You can't write to the same level.
No.
Maybe there may be one out of 1,000 or one out of 10,000 exceptions, but for the most part, most people can't write well for more than 3 or 4 hours as a screenwriter, and even as a novelist. And if you speak to successful novelists, for example, they're happy with just doing one page a day, one great page. So artists need to know the limitations, and they need to do other things to inspire and enhance that art.
That's, you know, and I think a lot of times if they don't do that, no, it's not because we don't have it. Of course we do have it. Like, if you really want to come up with ways to enrich your life, you can. I can think of like 10 things I can do right now. But I think a lot of times it's really the fear of missing out, or fear of falling behind, or the comparison of, oh, you know what, I'm not there yet, so I need to catch up. It's those limiting beliefs that keep them from living a richer life and then expanding themselves.
Yeah, I do workshops around the world, as you know. And one of the things I always say in my workshops is this: I present the smartphone to the audience and then say, this thing turns off. Try it. It's a turn off switch for your iPhone or Android. You can turn it off. And I think it's very important for artists to turn off their phones, to turn off media. So many people I know in New York constantly have the radio or TV on, they nonstop media.
It's information like overflow.
All information over, and then they're reading thousands of articles every day on their email. The point is, turn it off. You don't need to constantly be informed all the time.
No.
As an artist, you need to reflect. You need to have the time to reflect. So it's so important to turn off that iPhone or Android, to turn off, enjoy silence.
Yeah.
And to just think. It's so important to take time as a creator to just shut up and think. Don't read, don't listen, think.
It's maybe think, it's also maybe like daydream.
Either.
Like, let your mind wander.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I know. Oh, that's what I do with when I walk my dog, which I do three, four times a day.
It's a great, you come up with great, walking really stimulates creativity.
Oh, yeah. And not to mention walking with a dog who stops every once in a while to chase a squirrel or.
Also, it's another thing is connecting with nature, connecting with the planet, connecting with Earth. Sorry to be so new agey today, but it's really important.
It is. As
a creator.
It is. I'm planning a hiking trip. So
I love hiking. I love it.
There are so many groups. There's the New York hikers, there are the New Jersey hikers, you know, so I'm planning to do that and then just leave my dog at the daycare so I can go away.
Oh, good. Let me know. You can't hike enough.
No.
Enough.
No, I can't. So, okay, this is all good stuff. What would you like to promote? And what would you like to tell our artist, our audience, like as a parting quote? First, start with your promotion.
Well, you know, I started a web series called lifeadvice.tv. Check that out. It's basically giving old people who are the most experienced with life a voice. So it's called lifeadvice.tv. It's a web series I have with my partner, Roseanne Dukoff, in Bulgaria. And then I have the second edition of my book, Beyond the Craft, What You Need to Know to Make a Living Creatively, is a bottom line, noble guide to getting to the next level of your career, whether you're starting out or whether you're it's for beginners, working and successful creative professionals and students, you know, how to get to the next level of your career. And it's basically teaching people how to agent themselves. Yes, they may have an agent, a manager, but very few of the agents and manager will be effective. So yeah, it's learning how to agent yourself. And that's what my book's about. We just came out with the second edition. There's also an audio version. I also, if you look up Jim Germanic, I also have a book about real estate investment. I know nothing about real estate investment, but I co-wrote it with a guy who is an absolute Midas addict.
Well, I should look into that.
His name is Fred Gelfand. And what else do I have to promote? You know, jimgermanic.com is the way to reach me. I am on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Awesome. Our audience will find you. Yeah. So what is the parting quote that you would like to give?
Wow, there's so many that have entered my mind.
The first thing that popped up, always go with your instinct.
Life is too, as Oscar Wilde said, life is too important to take seriously.
I love it. Life is too important to take
seriously. Enjoy your life and focus on that. Money, success, ambition are secondary.
And they come as part of the enjoyment, because when you really enjoy what you do, and, you know, because money is energy.
True.
It just comes from that energy, the same energy that you create the enjoyment in your life.
And so one other thing that comes to mind, whatever your fantasy or dreams are, life may not work out that way. And so a very important skill in business and life, and love even, is to pivot. Learn how to pivot. Instead of hitting your head against a wall, a brick wall, and getting your forehead bloody over and over again, find a way around that brick wall. Learn how to pivot.
I have a different way to say that, but I think we're saying the same thing, is face towards change. Yeah.
Don't fear change. Change is often good.
Change is often good, and change is the only thing, probably the only thing that is unchanging in life, because life is all about change.
It's a constant, yeah.
It's a constant, yeah. So for those of you who you know, like to stay safe and to stay stagnant, to keep what they have, to hold on to what they have, it's really because they're scared that if they let go, they are not going to find anything better. But I think for artists and entrepreneurs especially, we have to learn to create space, and we have to learn to let go of what doesn't serve us, so we have the space to welcome the things and people that do serve us.
Exactly.
Oh, this is so good.
Good. Great to speak to you, Jenny.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jim. I will put everything in the show notes so they can find you. And I might invite you back at a later time to do an episode on a different topic. I think the networking thing is so important right now. And I just want to push it.
You talk about things are changing. Things are, businesses are changing.
Oh, yeah.
Life is changing due to this pandemic. It's so, whether you like it or not, already you're involved in change.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. So I will see you tonight, actually.
Okay, and look forward.
Yeah, look forward. And, you know, we'll have our dim sum later in the summer.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much, Jim.
My great
pleasure. Bye, talk soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. You're now one step closer to having the creative life and career you want. If you would like to deepen the work, go visit coaching.yikingzhao.com to find out how to work with me. Or you can hang out with me on Instagram at yikingzhao1222. If you would like to receive a freebie, 7 questions to get you unstuck, please subscribe to my newsletter. You will love it. All right, I'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care. Happy creating. Bye.